Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, David here, Pastor Liz to my left.
Hello.
And to the far left, Pastor Bob.
That's it.
Right where he belongs.
Far left.
Yes. So today we have a topic that hopefully will be of interest. I know it's been interesting to me, but it's praying in tongues or speaking in tongues. Mm. And just to start off, I have a question. It's kind of a personal question. Do you pray in tongues? And how has that benefited you in your walk with God? Does any of you guys want to kick it off?
I think Liz needs to start.
Okay.
All right. Open this
I'm gonna
up.
I'm going to sit in the corner here and pray in tongues for
in
you.
In the far left.
In the far left. In the far left, we don't pray.
We should pray for you. Yeah.
I'll stay on the far right. The arch conservative over here. So good centrist.
She can go either way.
Yes. What do the American people need to know in this election season?
Oh my God.
About praying in tongues in your life?
Nope. Pray more. That's all we need to know. Yes, I pray in tongues and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Good.
Rose is laughing at me. Listen, praying in tongues is awesome because it bypasses your mind, which we all need that. We all need sometimes.
Yes.
We go out of our mind a little bit and connect with God spirit to spirit. Mm-hmm. And so that's it's an amazing gift because so many times we need to go past our natural understanding, which is what it allows us to do, and pray. We'll get into this. Pray perfectly in tune with the Lord and His desires, His wills, and not have to think about everything. And it's just a spirit to spirit thing. So it's an amazing gift.
Yeah, absolutely. What about you, Pastor Bob?
What about me?
Are you a tongue speaker?
Tongue talker.
I pray in tongues.
Tongue talker.
More than you all.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a tongue talker. Even when I'm not speaking in my godly given language of tongues, I think I speak in tongues.
You do. That's true.
It's true.
You do speak in tongues more than the rest of us.
I do. That's what I meant by that.
Sometimes you even interpret it.
It always needs an interpreter.
A clear bugle will call to battle.
Yes. Yes, I do pray in tongues.
Mm-hmm. How's that benefited you?
Well, I get a sense that I'm offloading things that I really couldn't verbalize properly. And so that's what happens with me. And it for me, I get the sense, not just the feeling, but the sense that I've connected with Him and that I've given it to Him. And I can walk away from that thing and not be concerned about it if there's something specific on my heart. Sometimes I just pray in tongues just to hang out with God that way.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes with a very much a purpose. Sometimes it's just, mm-hmm. hanging with Jesus.
It's interesting you mentioned that because some people would think speaking in tongues is always this spontaneous, ecstatic thing that you cannot have a purpose.
Yes,
you can't bring a relationship or a person or a ministry and pray in tongues about it. You have to just arise whatever.
Yeah, you
know?
I think we've all experienced,
you know, because I also speak in tongues. We've all probably experienced running out of words and just praying in the spirit about something.
Yeah.
And it's a great gift. And so I hope that dispels maybe somebody's misunderstandings about that, you know.
And like I said, I think a lot of Christianity has a lot of misunderstandings about tongues, actually. And like I said, is it something that has to always happen with, you know, spontaneity? Or is it like, you know, is it something you're driven to by some other force?
Right.
Or,
you know, falls on you.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And whereas it's, you know, Paul explains it, it's like, hey, when I pray, my spirit prays and just do it.
Yeah.
And so I think you can just do it. That's how I feel about it. Well, I don't feel about it. It actually works that way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's important just to know how this benefits us and what's the purpose of the gift. I mean, we read about it most clearly in 1 Corinthians 14, and he's talking about love and building up the body. And he also talks about how it builds up our own spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's a great gift. But I know, like, for me, for a long time, I thought, well, I don't really need to speak in tongues. Like, I'm not somebody that has this gift. I have other gifts. They're just as good, you know, and I wouldn't think that I needed that. But God has showed me through the scripture that it is a great thing to pursue. And he says, earnestly desire that. And Paul even said, I want you all to speak in tongues. So it must be something that we can do. But maybe we'll get into that as we move on a little bit, because my next question goes with what you mentioned, that there's a lot of misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of misunderstandings out there in the church world, and not to even mention the secular world. But what are some misunderstandings that you guys have experienced or run into about praying in tongues?
Well, I would say one of the ones that I hear commonly among Christians is that only certain people have that gift. Mm-hmm. And so there's some distinguishing that needs to happen between the gift of tongues, meaning natural languages, which the Lord gives. But then also there's this ability to speak a heavenly prayer language that we believe every believer receives that ability when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit instructs your new spirit in how to pray and how to speak a heavenly language that bypasses your natural understanding. So I think that's one of the saddest ones to me, is when people who really love the Lord and love the Holy Spirit, they genuinely believe that that gift is not for them. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like they've just been robbed of such a wonderful thing, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to speak in tongues to their Father, because you're born of spirit the same way that he is. And so it's your nature to be able to speak with him that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that happen, an offshoot of that, is that when people feel like, you know, it's some special thing that they're not entitled to, mm-hmm. that the Church of God actually is robbed from people who could be speaking to God, interceding for the church, mm-hmm. building up the church, building up their own life, you know, holding the faith, you know, all these promises that come with Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, that benefits to our lives and to our, you know, to our communities, Christian communities and our every community, all of these wonderful things that are come as an offshoot of praying in tongues, they don't access. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that it's robbing the church of its, well, the first thing I'm going to say is of its communication with the Lord. It's pure communication. It's not a communication that's biased by your own way of thinking and your own feelings at a time. But it's also, I believe, robbing the church of the power that's supposed to be resonant. And that is a power to speak, like you were saying, spirit to spirit with our God and get answers. Mm-hmm. Right. And so to me, those are pretty significant things. I don't know if I've answered your question completely, but or gone off on a little bit of a tangent. But there's things that you're missing out on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think, those are two misunderstandings that exist. I mean, mm-hmm. we also mentioned the spontaneity element.
Yeah.
Right.
You touched on how people say, well, the gift of tongues isn't praying in the spirit. It's actually a language. It's something that's for evangelism. Mm-hmm. It's a sign for unbelievers, which they're taking that out of context mm-hmm. for 1 Corinthians 14, because mm-hmm. actually it's a sign to unbelievers to show that they're excluded. They don't have that gift, right? So they don't understand what's going on, and it's to draw them back to repentance. But there is a gift of languages, and that exists. But we'd have to cut 1 Corinthians 14 out of the Bible to say that's the only expression of tongues,
right?
Because you have to study what Paul wrote and what his devotional experience was mm-hmm. with tongues and how it impacted the life of the church. I think another misunderstanding that I used to have, maybe the others have, is that tongues is good, but it's not the best, and I want the best. He says, you know, tongues, I build myself up, but if I prophesy, I build up everybody. Mm. So if I can preach, if I can prophesy, if I can speak the word of God, that's way better. And I already do that, so why would I go back to this? I don't really need it, you know? Mm. And again, it's a self-sufficiency where you're like, maybe there's more, like Pastor Bob's saying. Maybe I do need my spirit to be edified.
Right. Right.
Maybe the whole body is weak in spirit that don't mm-hmm. move in this gift, because it's meant to be one of the ways our spirit is built up.
Yeah, I think also you have to understand the context of 1 Corinthians 14 is building up the church. Mm-hmm. And so when he's comparing prophecy and speaking in tongues, he's not comparing which one is objectively better. Mm-hmm. He's comparing which one is better to build up the church when you're together.
Yes.
And he's saying that if you can stand up and speak in tongues to somebody, and they're not going to necessarily understand what you're saying unless there's an interpretation of mm-hmm. that tongue. But he's not dismissing the ability of speaking in tongues to build you up in your most holy faith, right? Mm-hmm. Like the other places in the Bible, we have to look at the full counsel of the Word of God. Amen. So, and again, another misconception I think people pull out of 1 Corinthians 14 is that you're not supposed to speak in tongues in public. Yeah. Like, you know, that it's only for your private time because, you know, everyone's speaking in tongues and no one's interpreting. Mm-hmm. It's because we're actually just praying to the Lord privately together. Mm-hmm. We're not all speaking in tongues at each other, trying to convey a message. Mm-hmm. And so when Paul is instructing that when there's tongues, there needs to be interpretation, he's saying that if you're trying to convey a message to people to build up the church, it has to be something that's clear. Yeah. But he's not prohibiting people, believers, from speaking in tongues when they're together as the church of God. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
another one of my questions is when do the tongues need to be interpreted? Because that is a big one people have. I know I have a mindset that does want to welcome those outside, and I want them to understand what's going on in church. So I do think there's a place to at least explain sometimes, like if everybody's speaking in tongues, Paul says, the outsider thinks you're out of your mind. They don't know that. Like they don't know what's going on. Right. So if you could at least give some insight into what's going on, that will help. But anytime, like Liz was saying, anytime that you're conveying a message, why aren't you interpreting that? You know, like what do you think, Pastor Bob? Like, what do you want to add to this? When do we need to interpret tongues? Or maybe we don't. You know, maybe the Bible is wrong.
I think that's it's hard to put a definitive, like it must be this time, that time. But I believe that a lot of times when tongues is presented to the church in the process of like prophetic outpourings and things like and expressions, that it at those times it would require something, some kind of interpretation, just like other expressions of the Spirit.
Totally.
People dancing, people, you know, anything,
music. Actually,
music. It requires something like, what was that? Now, was that just to make us feel good in our soul? Maybe at times, I guess. Yes. I'm going to say okay on that. Yes. Because we are body, soul, and spirit. But I think there's going to be times and it requires discernment. So if we just want a whole like little checklist and it's like, okay, that time you do it, this time you don't, you know, it eliminates the need for people to be discerners and actually figure out what's going on and what God is doing and what he's saying. And so what happens is God provokes somebody in their spirit and all of a sudden they respond. Sometimes they'll respond in their, you know, earthly language, which by the way, all the time, that has to be judged also. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they may respond with some action, maybe a dance, like I said, maybe something, some kind of act, if you will. That should be judged. Sure. and sometimes in the process of judging, interpreted.
Right.
And so the same thing with tongues in that condition. There will be times, like you said, when we're just praying in tongues. I get a kick out of Paul because part of what, when I read that about, you know, you'll be out of your mind, you know, be thought to be out of your minds. I often wonder, is he playing on words there? Like, you actually are out of your mind. You're not speaking your mind. You're speaking by the Spirit. And so maybe he's saying that too. I realize he's saying, yes, they're going to think you're a little crazy. And if you have an issue with people thinking you're crazy, you're going to have a hard time
in Christianity.
You find another religion. Because the founder of our religion was thought to be a madman. Mm-hmm. He was thought to be crazy.
Yeah, so was Paul.
So was Paul, a madman. I mean, if you're apparently, if you're trying to walk with God, you're going to be doing things that are totally not normal. But when I mean normal, you know, by standards that, you know, people live in a natural life. Mm-hmm. You know, so the spiritual things are craziness to people who are natural, insane. And
I think that's true. And, you know, Paul doesn't say shut the whole thing down. He says don't forbid speaking in tongues.
Right.
But he says do all things decently and in order.
Yes.
Right.
So there has to be, like you guys are saying, unity in the body with spiritual oversight. Mm-hmm. And people have to care about it. They have to take these scriptures and say, I don't want to quench the spirit, but I want to make sure there's a clear call being put out.
Right.
I don't want to unnecessarily look crazy because I'm doing enough stuff already that's going to make me look crazy. Right. So like we are going to speak in tongues. Like, and he said, if anyone doesn't have an interpretation, let him speak to himself and God.
Right.
He didn't say he's got to be absolutely quiet, but don't be projecting Don't be like mm-hmm. taking the spotlight when you have no interpretation. Mm-hmm. Maybe pray quietly, mm-hmm. tongues, you know?
Right.
I think that's probably the most natural reading of that to me.
Yeah. It takes, like I said, it takes discernment each time. Everything can't be on autopilot. Like, oh, it's that, it's this. It turns into a big religion then.
And it quenches.
It quenches everything, yes. And it turns into a religion. Everybody just, you know, you just act naturally, but, spiritual.
Couldn't it also be a religion that we never stop anything? We have to just let it ride no matter what.
Positively, yes. Yeah. We'll be freaky. Be freaky Sunday.
Over the edge.
Okay, so interpretation I think is important, but it's not like a legalistic thing. Is that what we're
It's important when there's a specific message requiring action. Yeah. When the word of the Lord comes, it's coming to change something, to bring effect. Yeah. And so if no one knows what that effect is, they can't respond to it.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, one of the determining factors of whether or not there needs to be interpretation is there supposed to be a response? If there is, then there needs to be a clear message that people can understand respond to.
Would you say like if there's sort of a groundswell like in worship or there's some sort of a groundswell of tongues and song of the Lord and, you know, music and dancing and there's a response, somebody needs to get up and interpret everything that God's doing and saying, you know, here's what's going on and here's how you respond to that?
I think it can really help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that a lot of times when something's happening in a congregational worship setting, people have a sense of it, you know, like joy starts flowing through or like this victorious faith comes through, right? And people are like, they're catching it, they're moving on. But when someone gets up and says like, this is what's happening right now, and we're all like, it really pulls people together. It's like this rally cry of like, this is what you're sensing. And it gives language to it and it gives people something to anchor to.
Right, right.
And come together in unity around. So I think it's really helpful when that happens.
Yeah, I also think there's the subtle differences also when we're praying in tongues that there are things that we don't really completely connect to or understand completely. For example, you know, Paul in the scriptures, he's talking about prophesied. You know, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. People will come in, they'll be taken by the prophecy and be affected, maybe even repent and come to Jesus. Yes. But some people will come into the middle of prophecy and just discard it and go, that was crazy. That was as crazy as the praying in tongues, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not like a hard, fast rule because we see it happen both sides of that coin. Yeah. So the deal is, and the example I'd give is sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you'll see a prophet when they are prophesying, they may hesitate for a moment and then begin to pray in tongues because it's a communication, right? So your spirit is receiving from God prophetically and you're delivering that word.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a pause, for whatever reason, you're listening, everyone's listening, that prophet many times will start praying in tongues. Now he's speaking back to God, a mystery, and God's answering again.
Yeah.
With the rest. You know, and so there's it's a pause. I'm going to call it a holy pause. And so there, but I made something up right here. If you're looking in your Bible dictionary, stop.
You
guys are fine.
Pregnant but, pause.
Yes, a pregnant pause, right. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, but the reality is that you're hearing from the Lord. And I guess you could say, you're interpreting.
Right.
Yeah, that for sure.
You could say that, I suppose.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You can interpret. I mean, that's what Paul said. He said, if anyone gets a tongue, he should also ask for the interpretation. Mm-hmm. And it's all a dialogue with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's relational. Mm-hmm. It's not this download. It's like you're actually praying to God. Sometimes your mind is fruitful in it. Like he said, sometimes it's, that's what he's, this is what the Spirit's revealing. And sometimes, you know, that's not known. It says you're uttering mysteries before God. When you're praying in a tongue, that doesn't mean God doesn't know what you're saying.
Absolutely.
It means it's bypassing you don't know. I mean, it's not like, when I pray in tongues, God understands me better. It's like, no, God would understand me in English just as much as in tongues.
But your spirit is,
I can pray a pure prayer that's not adulterated by my own thoughts and fears and emotions and everything else.
Also, there's a dialogue with God. We forget. It's like our dialogue here. We are reacting and responding to each other. Mm-hmm. We're pressing on each other. So a dialogue with God, I mean, since we're made in his likeness and image, probably has a lot of those similar things. You get compelled and by him. You get constrained by him. You know, that's why, you know, the spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet in those same scriptures, where you can actually stop, because guess what? The spirit of the prophet is like, God said, stop. So you have the ability to go, oh, okay, I'm stopping now.
So there's a time to not pray in tongues?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good. So you actually have control of your spirit. That's interesting.
That's the whole deal.
Now I'm out of control.
Yeah. Good. I think this message needs to get out more. Oh, yes. Yeah, it's hard to stop talking in English. Probably also hard to stop you spiritual think? Language.
Yes. Yes, the tongue.
Just because it's a spiritual language doesn't mean you have the right to do whatever you want and pass it off as, I couldn't help myself.
I know. Right. That's right. Yeah. Good, good.
Yeah, if you can control that tongue, you're almost perfect, huh? I know. Yeah.
So we've talked about it a lot already, but can we go through and just say, like, so what's the purpose of praying in tongues? Like, we've covered a lot of them already, but is there anything that's on your mind that you want to share of, like, here's really why you and I need to do it as disciples? Like, we want to encourage people.
Go for it.
You always wait for me to go first.
I know. It's so good.
I can go first. I can answer my own
question. I'm getting the interpretation of what you're about to tongue right now. Don't think about it too hard.
There's a lot of reasons. Yeah. I keep thinking about, you know, Bishop Bill Hammond wrote this book, 90 Reasons Why You Should Speak in Tongues. And I'm like, it's been a while since I read it. I'm like,
90? There's 91.
Yeah. I'm just saying there's a lot of reasons why God gives us this gift. It's not just for like when I can't think of what to say. Mm-hmm. You know, that is one time, but you are praying, there's impact that happens in the spiritual realm, I believe, because, I don't think God's the only one. It's a heavenly language. Mm-hmm. So God's not the only one who understands what we're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to.
Who else
understands
it?
Maybe that went over the deep end there, but.
No, wait a minute. Go there. What?
The devil doesn't understand it. No.
All I'm saying is there's a lot of reasons why you can why you should speak in tongues. There's power. It taps into your true spirit nature of who you are, which is a good reminder that you're not just a brain and a body walking around, you're a spirit.
Yeah.
And it connects you with your spiritual source. So that's a really important thing. It humbles you because you can't understand it. You can't control it. You can't manipulate it, right? So there's a yielding of your own intellect that happens. Of course, it builds your faith. It clears things out of you. You know, I mean, there's so much that happens from speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Ditto. <Okay. laughs> I think you covered a lot of it there.
There's 85 more reasons.
I don't know if I subscribe to every one of those 85, but I think most of them. I mean,
there are a lot that are closely linked to each other. Right. There's a lot of things, though, more than we know.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, I think you're tapping into a spiritual realm. You're opening yourself up to hear from God and to operate with God on a level that you don't operate on in your physical body, in your physical, you know, your natural life. And so surprising things can happen in those times. Mm-hmm. You can get really surprised by God. Yeah. Also, I think there's a humbling that happens when we pray in tongues.
Someone said that. Yeah, that's a good point. That's
a good point. Right?
It is a good point.
A good humbling. And I think it's a good, I think you should, I think we need to really put an emphasis on it, because if you, we just think that we have it all. Mm-hmm. And we don't. And I think God wants us to get that. Oh, wow, you really thought you had it all. You thought it through really well. And you figured it out all on your own really well. And then you finally broke down and prayed, humbled yourself and prayed. And all of a sudden, my spirit spoke to you, mm-hmm. spirit to spirit, and you got it.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful process. It's a humbling process, like you say. And I think that's when we're, like you mentioned, one of the scriptures out of Jude, you know, you're built up in your most holy faith. That's all part of it. You become edified mm-hmm. in the process, like, you know, this building up in every part of your life, actually. Mm-hmm. And I also believe there's healing involved mm-hmm. at times. Just saying. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. I believe also there's some special forms of intercession that cause deliverance mm-hmm. when you're praying in tongues, which is a really wild, crazy thing when you experience it. It's just so awesome.
Like warfare declarations
yes.
in the spiritual language.
Yes, you go into realms that you don't normally go to. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Past judgment.
Yeah.
Counsel of God, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sorry, I repeated your humble thing, but it's really needed. It needed repeating. I hate to just list off. Oh, it does this, that, and the other. It's like, right, oh, those are great things.
They are
so like those are like. Let's come on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. You can never say humility too much. the thing that came to my mind was Paul writes, you know, praying at all times in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and he says, pray without ceasing. And how can you do that in your own mind?
Right.
You can never think of enough words. Your prayer list can't be long enough. Well, maybe it could, but you're not meant to just be going through a prayer list all day. You're supposed to be praying in the Spirit. And so mm-hmm. it actually allows you, this gift allows you, your spirit to be in constant communion with God. And I don't know, maybe you guys correct me on this, but you can pray in the Spirit without actually vocalizing anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can constantly just be communicating with God, you know, in your spirit. And so that's really the only way I can think of that you could obey that command
right.
to pray at all times. Maybe he means pray constantly throughout the day, like whatever. But I think you can actually mm-hmm. be praying all the time in your spirit.
I think if you think of prayer as like, I have to constantly be saying things, then it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you view prayer as I have this dialogue with my Father throughout the day, like Jesus did, like, mm-hmm. what are you doing? What do I need to hear? What do I need to see here? Mm-hmm. I'm open. And then like, Father, what do you think about this? Like, I'm hearing this, I'm talking with these people right now. What do you think mm-hmm. about this? What do you want to bring here? I think that's a way of living that's he wants to bring us into, mm-hmm. you know, where it's natural for us just to not like put him in a 30 minute section of our day and then go about the rest of it. He's like, I want to be communing with you mm-hmm. throughout the day. And that's speaking to him and listening and know, and sometimes just being together. There's a prayerfulness in presence and mm-hmm. being together and having an awareness that he's there and that whatever you're walking through, he's with you in it. So I think that sometimes people are like, I have to be praying, you know, I have to pray without ceasing. How can I, what about when I'm sleeping? You know, or like, it's like there's a communion aspect of it that I believe is really what it's speaking to. And praying in tongues it's a huge part of that because your mind sometimes needs to be occupied with other things, mm-hmm. but your spirit can still be communing.
I think it tunes your heart and it tunes your whole body towards God when you use the gift of tongues. And then like, I love how you said that prayer is most of the time just being open to God and having your attention on God. But yeah, you definitely don't have to be,
you know, I also believe that when you're praying in tongues, most of the time, the thing that happens is kind of subtle. We may not even see it or realize it, recognize it at the time, but our heart changes. Mm-hmm. Like our soul begins to rearrange. It changes, and it's. I know that sounds a little, you know, what does that mean? But I mean your feelings, your emotions, the way you approach something, the way you think about something, the way you incorporate knowledge into your life. It God comes in and in that communication, he teaches your soul.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Or he comforts your soul.
For sure.
Or he strengthens your soul. It's kind of it's a very subtle thing, but it's so crazy. You can walk away and you're thinking like, well, exactly. All of a sudden you're thinking different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're thinking godly. You're thinking like he thinks. Mm-hmm. And so here's this transfer out of the spiritual realm right into your soul, right into the way you operate, what makes you you, your desires, your emotions, your intellect, all of those things get actually affected in that process. And you walk and you'll see it if you know, you might be troubled about something. And like you say, you have no words. So you start to, you know, pray in tongues. And if you really, I don't know, hit pay dirt with that, you'll walk away like, huh, I wonder what's different.
Yeah, right.
Totally.
A lot of times I think you leave with clarity too. For me anyway. Like I come into a time with the Lord and I'm like agitated about something, but I don't know what it is. Something's upset in me, in my soul. And I'm like, what is this? Is this you? Is it something? Like, what is this?
Right.
And that time with him, by the end, I'm like, oh, okay, now I understand this. Mm. It just sorts things out in that process. And it has to bypass my mind because my mind is like all wrapped. Right. My mind can't figure it out.
Right.
But the spirit can with my spirit. They sort things out, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they settle things.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Sure. The other thing I believe happens also when we pray in tongues, especially if you're having an issue in an area of the word where you're not completely, you know, you're not getting it. You're not understanding how it comes together, why, you know, you're not like Pastor David. Okay. You're like us normal people, you know, but you, he brings light in that, those times on his word. He brings, you know, the spirit of truth is leading us into all truth. He's, he's leading us and guiding us and showing us him, showing us truth, him.
Absolutely.
And it's such a good thing. And a lot of times I think it's really good to just pray in tongues before you open the word.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even while you're opening the word, but that's a whole different thing.
You can even pray in tongues while you're reading the word.
Absolutely.
You're not using your mind.
That's right.
If you're using your mind, you're probably faking it, you know?
Right.
And that's why, like, I heard people say, like, how do I know I'm not faking this? Well, if you could do other stuff while you're doing it, and you can have other thoughts, and you can text people while you're doing it, then you're probably doing it right. It's probably God's, it's coming from the Holy Spirit through your spirit.
Yeah.
If you're like sitting there going, shaka tupra ta ha ta, like you're thinking about everything, you're just speaking, you know, Jabba the Hutt's language. Like you're not, like you're actually creating it. You're not receiving it from God. Yes. So,
well, it's funny. I didn't want to go out on that ledge, but say that yes, you can actually pray in tongues while you're reading the word and a whole different light will come on him.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh yeah.
You should just said it. It was good.
I just said it. Now, I guess I had to be, you had to provoke it out
what
of
do we
me.
Have to,
well, I think that's part of like, this is part of what we instruct our students with in discipleship is how to meditate on the word.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit should be part of that process.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Right? It can't just be this like mental exercise that we go through and you can engage your mind, of course, in thinking about the word, but the Holy Spirit, he's the one that brings revelation. And so releasing your spirit to commune with him, you're really bringing your whole body into the meditation and into the revelation.
Yes. That's key. If you read Psalm 119, I believe there's over, I think there's 31 expressions where he cries out for God to teach him the word as he's reading it. Right.
Yes.
So no, I love that. A lot of purposes to this. Okay. We should probably do it. So
let's
see, what's another good question here? How do you activate your spiritual language? If somebody here has never prayed in tongues, wait, first, before we get there, okay, I have a hard question.
Yeah.
I want to put you guys on the spot here.
Okay.
So many hard
questions. How come every Christian can pray in tongues when not every Christian can do all the other gifts?
Because, well, I'll say I would not say it's a gift of the Spirit in the way that the other gifts of the Spirit are disseminated out to the body of Christ. Mm. It's part of your nature of God-likeness.
Would you say prophecy as well to an extent?
Yeah, I would say there's things that are part of when we're reborn, part of who we are designed to be with him. We're designed to be able to speak with him and hear him, which is speaking in tongues and prophecy. So I would say it's very different than the other gifts of the Spirit and included, you know, gifts of the Father and gifts of the Son. Those are dispersed out as he sees fit to cause us to have dependency on one another. But I think that's very separate from the new nature that you're given.
Totally. Yeah. Anything to add to that?
She said.
that's so true. I mean, that's
it's
what
hard, it's hard to get away from. This is the basic.
I think that's what unlocks it, because if you see it as, oh, it's like the gift of administration or it's like the gift of leadership. Not everybody has that. You know, I can't do that. Well, no, it's part of, you have a new spirit that can hear from God and that can speak what you hear. Right. You know, and so maybe you won't have the gift of speaking in other languages. That is a gift, I believe, or interpreting those other languages. I almost said magically, but supernaturally from God, you know, it's better than magic. It's miraculous.
A little bit. Yeah.
It's Halloween. That's why we're filming on Halloween.
Not when they're listening to this, it is.
So it's not like that. It's not like that type of gift. It's right. Look, I've just been made into this type of person that has, a resurrected spirit, and I can actually do this, you know? I think that's really key for people to understand. And if that wasn't the case, somebody wants a biblical case for that, because it says, no, third, speaking in tongues, fourth, interpreting tongues, you know, whatever the list was.
Right.
Biblically, there's a whole chapter devoted to the two that we're talking about, tongues and prophecy.
Right.
And it comes after the chapter about the other gifts, mm-hmm. where it's two different members in the body. Paul puts specific emphasis on that, and he speaks about it in context of the Spirit. He says, I speak in my spirit, and my mind is unfruitful. He draws a difference between the spirit and the soul,
right.
You know, and all that. So anyway, if you want kind of if anybody here is stumbling religiously or they have a biblical objection, think about that. Why did Paul structure his letter that way if he wasn't trying to encourage that?
I think also the gifts, the other gifts in the earlier in Corinthians are gifts more outward to affect the body directly, the church.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, speaking in tongues does affect the church, maybe in a more indirect way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're personal. They're for you. Like you said, it's who you are. So he's equipping you to be all you are in him. Whereas the other gifts, he's equipping the church
mm-hmm.
in many ways mm-hmm. and helping the church be who they are as a corporate body. So there's different kinds of gifts there. And I realize they get kind of mixed in, but they have some subtle differences that go on with those. And it's okay. It's okay. But like I said, for people to exclude themselves from the gifts of who they are, just like when you're born with the gift, most people, of voice. You're born with the gift of smell and sight and taste, and it's who you are, all right? As you develop, maybe you've been gifted to actually help other people, build things for people, teach people, design things, administer things, you know, maybe that's, so those are a lot more outward. They affect you. They come from you. They can, yes, but they're more outward. This one is more like who you are.
Sure. You know what? I thought of a real simple one. In Acts 2, like the Holy Spirit falls on them. They mm-hmm. all get baptized in the Spirit. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. And says they all spoke with other tongues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It wasn't like, oh, and a couple of them started speaking with other tongues. And a couple of them started healing people. Like he was like, no, that was just who they all were. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you scripturally, know? When you see that people received the Holy Spirit, they spoke mm-hmm. in tongues.
Yeah. On many occasions.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
I think it's implied where it's not said flat out, you know.
Right.
Right.
Good. All right. Well, hopefully that broke whatever stronghold there was. I think it's important for some people. I know I had to have the biblical ducks in the row before I could start speaking in tongues. I was inhibited for a long time actually on that.
It's worth wrestling it out mm-hmm. if you're struggling with it. Yeah.
So I'll go back to you.
I would like to say to people who may be struggling like you, like, what do you got to lose?
Well, they might look dumb.
Like if you start, what's that? You might look dumb.
Somebody might think you're possessed.
That's the least you have to lose.
Yeah.
It's possible you look dumb already, but that's a whole different story.
They might think you're the devil.
Probably
but.
Do. Yeah.
You look dumber.
Yeah. That's a good point. You don't have anything to lose. You have everything to gain.
It's a gain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a,
So how do we activate this gift? Okay. This part of who we are, right? How do we, how would somebody start praying in tongues? I know each of you have led people, to begin using this, their spiritual language. How do you help people do it?
Well, I just try to remind them, first of all, that, it is a gift from a good Father in heaven,
mm-hmm.
that he desires them to have this. And so I think a lot of times people, their first issue with being activated is they don't think they qualify, or they, you know, they have enough going on in their own life spiritually or to qualify for the gift. And I try to eliminate and let them know good gifts come from your Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't turn. There's no pulling back on that. He wants you to have this. And so I think that's a big thing to get like locked into someone who doesn't believe that. The second thing is I try to remove the some of the concerns, like you were saying earlier, you know, it's strange. I usually tell people, yes, it's strange. Like, why beat around that bush? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's as weird as you can imagine naturally.
You're speaking a language you don't know.
You don't know. it's like, and, it's, you know, and so I'm supposed to try to make sense out of that. It is a spiritual thing. The other thing too, like I said, it's a gift, right? And so just like Jesus was a gift. So when I help ask people with that, who are looking for Holy, you know, to be receiving the, you know, Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I like, hey, Jesus was a gift. You received him pretty easily, huh? Did you have to know everything about him first? Mm. Or did you just have to believe?
Right.
Like it was, he's very simple. And I think there's that reception of all parts of the Godhead that we need to get connected to be like, okay, yeah, we can relate to, most of us can relate to Jesus, mm-hmm. a man here on the earth, and somehow he was all God. That part they have a hard time understanding.
Kenosis.
Yes, but we relate to that and go, okay, I accept him. Mm-hmm. I accept that. Holy Spirit's tougher, you know, because we don't think of the Holy Spirit as some person.
Yeah.
But he is.
Watch The Shack.
The Shack, yes. Yes, that's a good one to watch. But he is, or she is. He is a, he is a person of God. And there's no reason to not accept him, just like accepting the Father. By the way, I think people have a hard time accepting the Father too, receiving the Father, because they've had father issues along the way. Mm-hmm. And so we see that all along. And Holy Spirit's has put in this one little, you know, compartment, like, because he's harder to tangibly understand. Yeah. But I think he's very tangible. He's a guide. He's someone that's come help you. He's going to, you know, this is lead you. I mean, it's like, think of him like a person, and I think you'll start to go, oh, okay. Now, praying in tongues is as weird as it gets. And I can't make you pray in tongues, and I can't, like, Shandala key you into it. That's a, I can't like la 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 at you.
You can't just shake somebody.
I can shake them into it. Oh. It. There's such a simplicity.
Can I knock them down to the ground?
Yeah, just throw them on the ground and do the old, you know.
That down. Seems like it works for
yes.
some people.
Yes. Yeah. To me, it's very simple. All you have to do is ask him. Mm-hmm. Like that's, it's that simplicity. And I've seen people get filled with the Holy Spirit. It just, it's, you know, in your mind, you think, oh, this is going to be difficult. And it's not. Mm-hmm. They just want him and they receive him. He's been in the business for a while, like way before you started operating in in this. And so he knows how to deal with you. And I believe if you ask him, he's faithful.
Yeah.
And he'll just come.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like, I think we complicate it. It's like, and I think we try to hide the strange part that we don't understand. Because how do you explain tongues? Like, how, you know, we're talking about speaking in tongues now, but how do you explain, you know, what's that? You know, it's like, I think it's intentionally God put that in there just to make us know that there's more than what we think we know and, you know, how we operate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I just
how would you encourage somebody if you're like, if they're like, I want to pray in tongues. I've never prayed in tongues before. Would you add anything to what Pastor Bob said?
I think you, it's just, they have to just try. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things people stand there.
Isn't
and
it the Holy
wait.
Spirit doing it automatically for you?
The Holy Spirit, you have to yield, first of all, your spirit. So salvation's key, right? You want to make sure that people yeah. have received the Lord and help. They have
it is.
The new spirit, first of all, because it's pretty hard to pray with a dead spirit. Mm-hmm. So you got to get that new one first. But then after that, you have to yield your spirit and your body, and you have to yield your mind. You have to really like, that's hard for people to like, to just like try to not think it, not try to make it happen, not try to think it through. There was really this place of faith that they need to come bring themselves to, mm-hmm. and then yield their body, actually yield their mouth and their lips and their tongue and like start moving it. And they're going to feel stupid at first, you know, but once it starts to happen, they're like, they know it's not them.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a really wonderful moment. I know one of the hardest things is when people struggle with it. They really want that. They really want to be able to do it. And for some reason they can't quite get there, which is a reality, you know? And I think that we sometimes do people an injustice, by not just discussing that straight on, you know, because for some people it takes a little while to get there. And I don't know all the reasons. I don't know what the Lord needs to do in them and where they need to come to for that. I know that when we ask for the Holy Spirit, He wants to come. Yeah. And I know that the Holy Spirit, He wants to teach us how to pray that way. And He wants us to be able to communicate with the Lord. So I know that His desire is always yes. Like, yeah. Yes, I want to come. Yeah. Yes, I will teach you. Yes, I will bring you into this spot. And maybe there's some other things that need to come into place there with someone before they have the faith for it. I don't know. I don't know all the answers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one key, is that we really need to not try to tell people, you can't speak in tongues because this. Yeah. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit because this. Like, I think right. those are really, mm-hmm. you can really dishearten people in that process. So that's just my little like,
yeah. In the natural, like, you just struck something. In the natural, it'd be like having a child and you're trying to teach them to speak English or whatever your language is, and treating them that way. Oh, you can't talk. Oh, you're no good. Oh, you don't have enough.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't. It's like, you don't do that. That's not, you would want to welcome the person in and care for their soul.
What if your kid just said his first word? That would be good, right?
Right.
It's a good starting point.
I remember like talking to some of the guys, you know, like in prison, and they're like, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're like, I can only say like, I just have like a couple of sounds. I'm like, you need to do it more. Mm-hmm. And so then they come back the next day, like, I was practicing in my cell. I don't want my cellie to hear me, you know, or like whatever. Like I had, you know, I'm like, good. Keep, you know, there's these guys in prison, like, I'm learning how to speak this, you know, language. It's so great. Yeah, I mean,
that's
so much.
Key is like just letting people start with the right expectation. Like, even if you speak one word, in heaven, there's like one word, holy, holy, holy. Yeah. That could be a heavenly language. You know, and then you have to practice. It's like any other gift. Mm-hmm. You have to actually cultivate that and do it, right? So the more that you speak in tongues, the more you're going to be able to speak in tongues. You know, you might even get different tongues. You might get louder ones and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff is going to happen. But if you don't devote any time to it and you just say, well, I did it that one time,
right?
Like, you're not going to get any benefit out of it. I think Corey Russell one time, he said, you know, people treat speaking in tongues as a badge. I did that at camp, or I did that at church, so I'm filled. But they don't realize it's more than a badge. It's actually something that you're supposed to walk in and like grow, and the Lord will do so much with it. So maybe that's also helpful to people, is you're just taking your first steps when you activate that, and you got a whole lifetime ahead of you to commune with God in that sense.
Yeah. I would also say to people out there thinking that way, is like, it's a good thing.
It is.
And God, He's a great God. He loves you, and He wants you to have the great gifts. Mm-hmm. He wants you to have Him in all His fullness. And it's exciting, and it's wonderful. It's great. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. And I think if you get around other believers who pray in tongues, by the way, there happen to be like probably a couple of billion on the earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a whole nother thing. People relegate to praying in tongues like, there's three people that are weird that live up in the mountains. It's like, no, there's actually a couple of billion people like floating around right now. What's that?
Like everyone in South America.
Everyone in South
There's so much Pentecostal.
Yes. No, it's like, and the strange thing is when you go to another country or another place and they, another language, and they pray in tongues, it isn't their language. Yeah. It's so bizarre. It's like, it's not bizarre. It's so great. You go, oh, you can recognize. You go, oh, they're praying in tongues now. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, you might not understand their language, but you know it's not that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what? So good. I mean, theologically, right? Like the gift of tongues is the reversal of the Tower of Babel. And so God's saying all those nations that went off, every tribe, tongue, and language is now going to come back into relationship with me. Yeah. No matter what language it is, you're going to be back in my fellowship, right? And so there's even a higher reason behind all this. And anywhere you go in the world, God's welcoming that nation and that language, and He's giving them the same message that it's for people even beyond your language. It's an outward, you know, movement of the gospel.
Absolutely. So
that's why you can't understand it. All right. Well, we're running out of time here, but I just want to say one other thing.
Great.
That thing you mentioned about like, is God going to give us a good gift or not? It's the most offensive thing to me is people say like, oh, that's demon tongues. Mm. That's people speaking in tongues. They're literally blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They're saying that that's actually Satan talking. But it goes against the Bible because Jesus says if you ask the Father for a good gift, he's not going to give you a scorpion.
That's right.
He's not going to give you a scorpion. That's a demon symbol.
That's right.
If you ask the Lord to speak in tongues, which is a good gift according to Paul, he's not going to give you a scorpion. You know, so maybe that also needs to be said. Is you're not going to get some demon tongue. That's not a real thing.
Well, I would also say along those lines is that some people, I believe, when they're having a hard time and or they have doubts or they're just confused, that a lot of that is the enemy wanting them not to partake.
Yeah.
Not to be who they were designed to be. And that's a very important thing, because if he's keeping you from a pure conversation with your Father in heaven, untainted by your own mind and your own feelings and your own will. And that's an interesting thing when you think about the enemy. I mean, he would want to stop that or hinder it.
Yeah.
Make it just hard, make you feel different, guess what? He does all that with other things. Yeah. Just look at it. It's the same thing.
Totally.
Oh yeah.
I agree. Well, maybe Pastor Liz can pray us out.
Yes.
Pray for them. Maybe you want to pray in tongues over them or not. Just pray for people listening, however the Lord leads you.
Thank you.
If you could.
I can do that. Yeah. I can do that.
Thank you, Father.
Father, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you do give us such good gifts. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and for the evidence of him coming, which is speaking in tongues, which is operating in power, which is being witnesses on the earth. And so we thank you, Lord, for all of these good things that you planned. This was your idea, Lord. You designed it for us. And so I just pray over each one that is listening, those who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, those who haven't yet, those who are not sure. Lord, I just pray for a revelation in their life of your intentions toward them, your desire not just to dwell with them, but to dwell in them and to teach them how to commune with you spirit to spirit, because that's always been your desire, Lord. Your desire has been to commune with us on every level of who we are, Lord, that there would be no part of us that is separated from you. And so we thank you, Lord, for revelation in their life. We thank you, God, for removing any hindrance. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word that speaks to us, God, of how to operate in these things and what they're for, and that there is truth and that the truth makes us free. And so I just pray for those that are on, maybe on a journey of dismantling things that maybe have been not right, Lord, and that they're coming to a truth because there's a hunger for it, Lord. And so I just pray that you would lead them, you would guide them, you would open up the truth of your word to them. And Father, we thank you so much for all that you have made available to us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming to live not just with us, but in us, and for teaching our spirit how to pray and how to intercede and how to access heaven. And we thank you that you are the seal on our lives that speaks to the rest of our inheritance, because it's so much more than just one thing, Lord. Yes. You're bringing us into the attitude of heaven, the attitude of the kingdom of God. You are teaching us what it means to be citizens there. And so, Father, I just pray that you would take us beyond any limitation that we may already have, whether we've received you or we're getting there. Wherever we are in our walk, I pray that you would take us further, take us deeper.
Thank you,
Lord. Take us closer to your heart, Lord.
Yes.
And we thank you that this is your desire. It's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we honor you, Lord, for your goodness, your generosity, your tenderness, your loving kindness toward us, Father. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. We will see you guys next time. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.